And when you find it, stand with me. We'll start reading with verse number 1. 1 Samuel 11, verse number 1. Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, make a covenant with us, and we will serve you. And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, on this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out your right eyes, and lay it for reproach upon Israel. And the elders of Jabesh said unto Nahash, give us 7 days respite, that we may send messengers unto all the coast of Israel. And if no man comes to save us, we will come out to you. Then came messengers unto Gibeah of Saul, and told the tidings in the ears of the people. And all the people lifted up their voices and wept. And behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field. And Saul said, what ails the people that they weep? And they told them the tiding of the men of Jabesh. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. Then he took a yoke of oxen, hewed them in pieces, sent them throughout the coast of Israel by the hands of the messengers, saying, whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so it shall be done unto his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell upon the people, and they came out with one consent. The fear of the Lord came upon all the people, and they came with one accord. And I'm going to use tonight for a subject, overcoming the spirit of Nahash. Overcoming the spirit of Nahash. Will you bow your heads with me, please? Father, thank you tonight for the opportunity, God, that we have to be in this house. Father, I pray tonight for the anointing of the Holy Ghost to come upon this piece of frail clay. God, knowing that I can do nothing without you, I depend on your touch. I depend on your grace. God, would you lift me up above my own abilities, God? Help me to say, thus saith the Lord. Let me preach tonight, God, like a man from another world. God, I pray you take a live coal off that altar of God Almighty and blister my lips tonight, that I may speak your word without fear or favor. Anoint their ears to hear, that they may hear what it is the Holy Ghost would say. And God, give us the strength and the power to overcome this spirit of Nahash. And God, we ask it all in the glorious name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said amen. You may be seated tonight in the presence of the Lord. Overcoming the spirit of Nahash. Now, the saddest day in Israel's history was the day that they demanded Samuel to give them a king. You go to 1 Samuel chapter number 8. You'll find that Israel came to Samuel. The elders of Israel came to Samuel and said to Samuel the prophet. They said to him, Samuel, we don't want God to reign over us anymore. We want a king that we can see to lead us and to guide us and to protect us and to fight for us. And church, let me tell you, up to this point, it had been God, Jehovah God, that led Israel, that protected Israel. He was their king, and he was a good king. He gave them everything that they had need of. When the children of Israel were in bondage there to Pharaoh, the Bible said it was God that, amen, brought them out from the under the mighty hand of Egypt and broke Egypt's back. It was God that delivered them from the jackbooted heels of Pharaoh. It was God that parted the Red Sea and left Pharaoh and his cracked legion sucking salt water. It was God that provided everything that they needed when they was out there in that wilderness for 40 years wandering around there. It was God that fed them. It was God that quenched the thirst. God, the Bible said, he would rain manna into the wilderness there and feed them. Do you really understand how much food and water it would take to feed 3 million starving Jews out there in the middle of a desert? You got to understand, there's no Hardee's out there. There's no Burger King's out there. There was nothing but a hot sun and sandy deserts. There was nothing out there. All that was out there was 3 million Jews, but yet God was providing for them. Yeah. You know, one man said, in order to feed 3 million Jews out there, it would take 34 freight cars, amen, with 15 tons of food on each car to provide that kind of food for that many people. So I've done the math. I added up 34 freight cars, 15 tons in each car. That's 510,000 Israel needed. He was a good king to them.
Yes, he was.
But they come to the place that they didn't want God to reign over them. As long as Israel walked with God, God blessed them. God took care of them. But when they went astray, God would have to deliver them over to the hands of their enemies to smite them and to whip them. But when they would call back on God and repent, then God would come down and deliver them. And church, what happened is to Israel, they didn't want a God that moved like that. Because they got tired of being a nation that had to repent. Because when they would go into idolatry, when they went into serving of the gods, God would deliver them over to their enemies. In order for God to help them, when the pressure was on from other enemies, they would have to repent.
Yeah.
But they got tired of having to repent in order to get God to help them. They wanted a king that they could see that they didn't have to repent. He would still help them.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid that's where we're at today. We're in a nation, we're living in a time that people really don't want to repent. They don't want to have to repent. They're just like the children of Israel of old. They don't want a king that they can't see. They want to be like every other nation. And that's the problem with the modern church. We don't want to have to repent. We don't want God to get in our face and deal with our hearts and to point His finger into our life and tell us, you need to repent over this. You need not to do this. Because we don't want to live like that. We want to be like every other nation. And we want to be like every other people.
That's right. Come on.
Never mind, it was God's blessing on them. Never mind, it was God's hand on them that blessed them and provided for them. But they got tired of living by faith. They wanted to live by sight.
Right.
And church, this Bible tells you and I that we are to walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
But they got tired of living that way, so they went to Samuel and said, give us a king. Give us a king that we can see.
Yeah.
And so Samuel went to God and told this to God. And God said, Samuel, give them what they want.
Yeah. It's not you. Mm-hmm.
Give them what they want. And tell them, you've got to know, Samuel, they're not rejecting you.
No.
They're rejecting me.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Even though God brought them by His high hand and brought them out of Egypt, even though God provided food for them and took care of them and gave them everything they needed.
Amen.
They wanted it. They didn't want God anymore. They wanted to be like everybody else. But see, they didn't understand, or they refused to understand, that their blessing and prosperity came from being different. They didn't want to be different anymore. They wanted to be like everybody else. And church, can I tell you tonight, your victory, your blessing from God comes by you and I being different.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We are born again saints of God. We are not to be like the world. We are to be separate. But the problem with the modern church, we don't want to be separate anymore. We don't want to be a separate people. We want to intermingle with them. We want to be like them, but yet we want to have the hand of God on us too. But church, it ain't going to work that way.
It won't work now.
And so Samuel, God said, give them what they want. And so God gave them a king by the name of Saul. And the Bible said in 1 Samuel chapter number 10 that Samuel anointed this man Saul. The Bible said they took a vial full of oil and poured it on the head of King Saul. You'll find that in 1 Samuel chapter number 10. Then we come to 1 Samuel chapter number 11. He hadn't been king very long until Nahash came into the picture. Nahash the Ammonite wanted to destroy Israel. Saul hadn't been king very long. Matter of fact, he was anointed king in chapter 10, but in chapter 11, we see Nahash coming against him immediately, coming against Israel. What does that tell you and I? That means when you get born again, the devil's going to come immediately to destroy Israel. That's the whole purpose and desire of this Nahash spirit, is to destroy your walk and to destroy your life. He wanted to destroy the nation of Israel, Nahash.
Yes.
Nahash, the Ammonite, told the men of Jabesh, I'll come and make covenant with you. But you'll have to let me pluck out your right eye. Now, who was Nahash? What does Nahash mean? The word Nahash, if you look it up in your Hebrew, it means this. It means bright, fiery serpent. Nahash means serpent. What is that saying to you and I? Who is the serpent? The Bible calls the devil, that old serpent, the devil. And so here we see that Nahash, which is the devil, wanting to make covenant with the men of Israel.
Yeah.
I'll make covenant with you, but let me pluck out your right eye. What is he wanting to do? Why the right eye? What's the big significance about the right eye? Church, let me stop here to tell you this. You better watch who you get in covenant with.
Amen.
You better be in covenant with God and God alone.
Yeah.
You better watch who you rub shoulders with, who you link up with. You can't link up to everybody because everybody ain't got your best interest in mind.
Yeah.
There's some folk, they've got a hidden agenda. They want to link up with you because they got a hidden agenda. You better watch yourself and you better watch who you link up with because everybody ain't got your best interest involved.
Amen.
They said, let me pluck out your right eye. Why the right eye? The purpose of putting out the men's right eyes was to destroy their usefulness as effective soldiers. The right eye was used in looking at the enemy behind the shield. Israel would have been easy to conquer if such an injury would have come to their soldiers. This was a serious deal. The enemy wanted to destroy their ability to fight. He knew if I plucked out the men's right eyes, they would be useless soldiers.
Yeah.
And the enemy wanted to destroy their ability to fight. And church, let me tell you tonight, that's the purpose of hell. He wants to destroy your ability to fight. In this life we're living in here, we've got a Nahash that is against us. There's a spirit out there that's prevailing. It's trying its very best to destroy all that walk with God. There's a spirit out there, saints of God. You can feel it every time you walk out of the church doors. You can feel it sitting in the church that's trying to pull your thoughts away, that's trying to pull your heart in another direction. That is the spirit of Nahash. And church, the day you stop fighting, the day your soul don't mean nothing to you anymore, the day you quit fighting, you've lost the battle. Because we are in a warfare. There's a devil to fight. There's an enemy to overcome. This is a battle between life and death. And you better take it seriously. Nahash is out to destroy. He wants to knock us out. And I understand. Fighting gets tiring. Fighting gets weary. But that's the thing you are going to have to fight. The weapons of... Why did God say we had weapons? He said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The Bible said we fight against spiritual wickednesses. Spiritual darkness in high places. What is he saying by weapons and fighting? He's saying we're in a war. And the day you quit fighting is the day you start retreating. And we are living in a time now there can be no retreat and no surrender. You better get that down in your heart. No retreat and no surrender. I'm not going to stop fighting. I'm not going to give up. You've got to have your mind made up. I come hell or high water, come every demon in hell, I'm going to stand my ground. I'm going to be like Shammah. I'm going to stand in right in the middle of my pea patch, and I'm not going to move. He run me out of here my last time. He ain't going to take my victory no more. He's not going to take my joy no more. He's not going to take my shout no more. I'm going to stand my ground. I'm not going to move. I'm going to tell the devil, you cut me your last time. I'm going to stand up and fight. I'll fight you in the street. I'll fight you in my home. I'll fight you, my God. I'm going to fight. You've got to fight.
Yes, amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And the weapons of all warfare are not guns and bombs. But it's on our knees. We're going to prevail with God. Church, it's time to pray. It's time to get on our knees and fight this battle. Fight the devil. Don't let him destroy you anymore. Don't make covenant with Nahash.
No. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I can't hang out with everybody. There's just some things I can't do. Because my spirit, my walk with God means more to me than that. Yes, Jesus witnessed to people. Yes, Jesus talked to people. Yes, Jesus was close to people. But he didn't hang with people. He didn't buddy up with sinners. He preached to them. He showed them the love of God. But he didn't hang. There's just some folks I can't hang with. Oh, I love them. I'll talk to them. But I'm not going to hang with them. The Bible says good company. Bad company corrupts good morals. You see, I'm the salt of the earth. If I hang around certain Joes, I'm going to start being labeled in the eyes of folk as certain. Hey, he's just like they are.
Yeah.
Folks, listen to me. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying there's a Nahash out there that wants to link up with you. But he don't have your best interest in mind.
No.
They've got ulterior motives behind the scenes. Oh, I hope you're hearing me tonight and not just listening.
Thank you,
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I am broke today. I pray today, saying, God, please, don't let them listen to me. Let them hear what God's got to say.
Praise God.
Because we're in a battle of our lives.
Thank you.
We are in a battle and we're facing the powers of darkness. Listen to me. Satan is doing everything that he can to destroy this generation. Do you realize that the number one search word on the internet for elementary students is the word porn? Think about what I just said. The number one search word among elementary grades from kindergarten through sixth grade is the word porn. These kids are being bombarded by the powers of hell
right.
to destroy their lives before they even get started.
Right.
Teenage drunkenness is at an all-time high. Drug abuse is an epidemic. It's rampant. People are being destroyed. Lives are being snuffed out. This is a game. This is no game. This is no time to straddle the fence. Nahash is coming after you. That spirit, he's going to come after you. That spirit came after Peter, Paul, James, and John, and it's coming after you.
That's right.
Amen.
This is no time to have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. It's time like Joshua. He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't care what anybody else does. I don't care what my brother does. I don't care what my mommy does. I don't care what my daddy does. I don't care what my cousins do. But I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to be holy. I'm going to be what God wants me to be. If I'm the only one in my family that makes heaven, well, bless God, I'm going to make heaven. I'm going to do everything that I can. I'm going to pray. I'm going to sing. I'm going to read this book. I'm going to do everything that I possibly can to make heaven my home.
Yes.
You've got to do it for yourself. If they don't want to serve God fully, wholeheartedly, don't hang with them.
Amen.
Because you won't convert them, but they'll convert you.
Right. Amen.
Take it from somebody that knows.
Yeah.
This ain't a game, folks. Well, I'm a stronger Christian than that. Who do you think you are? What makes you stronger than everybody else?
That's right.
I tell you what you are, you're deceived.
Yeah.
That's right.
You are deceived.
Amen. Yeah.
You've done been bought into the spirit of Nahash. He already locked arms with him, and you don't even know it. Oh, church, you better hear me tonight. You better hear God tonight.
Yes.
So what are we going to do? Well, how are we going to overcome Nahash? What are we going to do? The Bible said in verse number 6, 1 Samuel 11, when King Saul heard about the tidings, about Nahash and what he wanted to do to the men of Israel, the Bible said, oh, how I like this. Verse number 6, the Bible said the Spirit of God came upon Saul, and Saul grew angry. Oh, hallelujah, church, I believe it's time that you and I grow angry at the devil.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I've grown just a little bit tired of seeing our kids destroyed by drugs and alcohol. I'm tired of the enemy destroying my family. I'm looking at the devil every day, and I see folks in my family getting a little bit closer to the world than what they need to, and I'm just a little bit tired of it. Oh, church, listen to me. And the Bible said the Spirit of God came upon Saul. The answer to Israel's dilemma against Nahash was the Spirit of God came upon Saul. In church, it's time that you and I get full of the Spirit of God one more time, because He is the answer. The Spirit of God is the answer. You're not going to find the answer in some book from Rick Warren or some book from John Maxwell or some how-to book, but you will find everything you need in the Spirit of the living God. It's time to get full of the Spirit. It's time to stand toe-to-toe with the devil and say, in the name of Jesus, come out. The Spirit of God came upon Saul. When the Spirit of God comes on you, there's not a devil that can defeat you. The Spirit of God is the answer. He's the answer then, and He's still the answer today. Woo! The power of God is the only answer against the powers of darkness. What the church needs in this hour is a dose of power. Mm-hmm. We've got everything else man's got to offer, don't we? We've got carpet on the floors. We've got padding on the pews. We've got air conditioning. We've got windows. But what the church ain't got is power. But what we need is some power, my God. Power! Jesus said you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Power! Oh, we need the power to roll back the tides of hell. Power to set the demons of darkness at bay. Oh, God, give us power. Don't give us amen, man, to buy. But give us some power. Holy Ghost power. Exploding power. The dunamis of God. Come one more time and fill our hearts with the glory and the power of Christ.
Yeah.
That is the answer.
Praise
He said, you shall receive power, not before, but after the Holy Ghost comes upon you.
Mm-hmm. Right. Amen.
Right.
So we get the Holy Ghost on us. But what happens is, we quit revering Him. We stop cherishing Him. So we begin to walk too loud in His presence. Church, can I tell you, walk softly before the Holy Ghost.
Yes, amen.
Handle the Holy Ghost with care. The Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says, resist not the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says, quench not the Spirit. If He can be resisted, if He can be grieved, if He can be quenched, that tells me I better handle with care.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Yeah.
Because if I don't handle with care, He ain't going to stay.
That's right.
If I allow things into my temple that grieves, you know what? What does it mean to resist? Come here, boy. Come here, brother. Come toward me. I'm going to show you what it does to resist. Come, have your hands out at me. Right here. Holy Spirit's coming at me, and I'm resisting. I don't want you today. I don't want your conviction today. I'm resisting Him. I'm pushing him away. And I'm afraid that's what we're doing today in the modern church. We're pushing him away. We don't want his conviction. We don't want him up in our face. We don't want him telling us what we're doing is wrong. So we resist him. Thank you. We push him out of the way. We resist him. The Holy Spirit has feelings.
Yes.
He hurts. How do you know he hurts? Because the Bible said he's grieved. Grieved not the Spirit. When you resist him, when you don't yield to him, it grieves him. What does that mean to grieve? You know, when I read the word grieve, I think about a lady who had lost her son by way of accident, unexpectedly. And she's over that casket. I remember when Gladys, when she was at the funeral of Chris Middleton. I remember Gladys. I called her remembrance. She was over that casket. She's grieving so hard. Grieving so hard. I remember seeing her down there crying over Josh. I thought she's going to die. She grieved so hard. The Bible says, grieve not the Spirit. When you grieve him, he's, why don't you yield to me? Why don't you yield to me? You've grieved his heart. When you resist him and don't yield to him. You know, when you lose somebody, I can have sympathy with you. But I can't grieve over somebody that you've lost like you do because you have a love for them that I don't have.
That's right.
Do you realize the Holy Ghost loves you?
That's right.
And when you don't yield to him and walk softly before him, it grieves the heart of God.
Right.
Grieving the Holy Spirit is what you do to him. But when you quench the Spirit, that's something you do to yourself. What do you mean? That means you put the fire out.
Amen.
You take your fingers, as it was, and lick them and put a candle out. That's quenching the Spirit. The Bible said the Spirit came upon Saul. The Spirit of God's the answer. And the Bible said that Saul cut up some pieces of oxen and sent them throughout the borders of Israel. You know what he was saying by that? He said, if you all don't rally behind me and fight with me against this Nahash, what's been done to these oxen, the enemy's going to do to you. If you don't destroy this enemy, that enemy's going to destroy you. And the Bible said the fear of God came on. And they came with one consent, one accord. Oh, church, hear me. You better allow the Spirit of God come on you. You better get fearful before God and one accord come out. You know, folks, sometimes I can't fight the devil by myself. Saul couldn't do it by himself. He needed some people behind him. And church, you're not by yourself tonight. You got a preacher right here that's going to fight with you. We're going to stand with you. When you're not by yourself, amen, then God will fight together and we can push Nahash back. I see the enemy coming in. I see Nahash moving into some lives in this church. I've seen it over the last month. He's not coming up audaciously. Because if he did, we'd see that. He's coming in subtly. Very slowly, very trickily. He's a trickster. Do you realize tonight that we're talking about this word of sin? You know what sin? Listen to me. Sin is not merely a slight error on the part of man. Nor is man slightly unbalanced. But man is altogether going in the wrong direction, bound by the powers of hell, with no way to free himself. Man cannot set man free. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I am.
You're not just slightly erred. Sin is not some unbalance of the brain. Sin is against God.
That's right.
Man. Today, we don't call it sin anymore. We just call it weakness. He just got some kind of chemical that's got him unbalanced in his brain. No, he's got a sin problem. Listen, folks, you can't free yourself. You bound to alcohol, you got an alcoholic problem, you can't free yourself. It's going to take the powers of God to set that drunk free. Whatever the situation, it takes Christ. But you got to give him opportunity to work in that life.
That's right.
And I know you wouldn't be here if you're not trying to give him the opportunity to work in your life.
Yes, that's right. Keep trying.
But you've got to come to the place that you finally say, nope.
No.
I've had enough.
No.
Let me help you out. You know what helps me stay away from drugs? You know what helps me stay clean? Of course, I pray and read my Bible. There's other things that help me. I don't hang out with people that do those things. Well, I've never had a drinking problem, so it ain't gonna bother me to hang out with them. How stupid can a person be? Folks, it's time that we realize, wake up and smell the coffee. Yeah, you can talk to them. You can show them the right way. How do you show them? You walk it before them.
Amen.
You don't hang out with them. You don't run with them.
No.
You show them Christ. And if you want to hang out with me, drop that bottle, honey, and get yourself to church.
Amen.
Amen.
Right. Lord. Yes, Lord.
But if you can't, then I can't.
Praise
well, Lord. Glory. Woo! Glory!
That's right.
Well, glory. You know, Brother Jim, this is good preaching.
Amen. Yes.
This is just good, solid preaching.
Yes.
Amen. It surely is.
Yeah. I just feel like you coming again tonight. Yeah. I come firing. You betcha. I come with my barrels loaded. I didn't come with a scattered shotgun shell, but I did come with a laser beam of the anointing. You know, the anointing's not like a shotgun shell. You know, a shotgun just scatters. It might hit you and it might not, but a laser beam's directive. It points at you. It gets down there where you're living at. You know, I was preaching down there at this church a while back down there, holding a revival in Russellville, and I was preaching along there, and son, I got back home and got a lady email me. She told me in that email, she said, "Preacher, I don't appreciate how you talked about me tonight." She said, "Why don't you try cleaning your house out and the trash out of your house when you get the trash out of mine?" And I emailed her back very kindly, very gently, said, "Honey, number one, I don't know what goes on in your house, but I do know this. If there's trash there, maybe God was talking to you. Because I don't know you. I don't know what goes on there. But if God's getting down there with that laser beam and probing you and digging around there, that's God trying to get a hold of you." Oh, church, you better hear me. You better hear me tonight. You can overcome the spirit of Nahash. You can overcome. You can overcome. You can him that overcome. Will I give him a place in the kingdom of God? To him that overcome. To him that overcome. Honey, you better overcome. For he that amen endures to the end, the same shall be saved. In Revelation chapter 2 through chapter 2 and 3. Chapter 2 and 3. Revelation. About 8 different times. He said, or 7 different times. He said to him that overcometh.
Yep.
That's right.
You've got to overcome. What does it mean to overcome? I'm closing. But what does it mean to overcome? It means whatever hell throws at me, I'm overcoming it.
Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord.
There's no obstacle. There's no hurdle that I cannot jump. Woo!
Oh, hallelujah.
That's right.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's right. That's good.
Thank you. You ever seen that folks in the Olympics? They run. They jump in hurdles. I've seen a few jump a hurdle and then right on the face. Skinning them legs all to pieces. They may come in last. But honey, they're still trucking on. They bend up their skin up. Their knees look like, amen, ground up burger. But they just keep on keeping on. They may come in last, but at least they finish the race.
Right.
And my Bible said, "The last shall be first." Woo! The last shall be first. Church, I'm going to tell you, it's important that you start, but it's just as important how you finish. Oh, glory to God. Come on, we'll go shut to my heart. To him that overcometh, will I grant him a place on the throne of God's glory? Oh, he'll give you a crown of life. Oh, how hot I'm going to shut to my heart. Somebody ought to shout. Somebody ought to get happy that we are going to overcome the powers of hell through the powers of the Spirit. Stand with me tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can't overcome. We can't overcome. Nahash can be defeated. Let me tell you something about sin. Sin crouches at the door. Bible says sin lieth at the door. What tempts me may not tempt you, but there's temptation for everybody.
That's right.
Church, this is no time to straddle the fence. This is no time to see how close to the world we can get, praise God. It's time to walk as far from the world as we can and please God. We've come too far to go back now. I'm kind of like that old song. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I've got to make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me and tries to turn me around, he's offered everything that's got a name, all the wealth I want, worldly fame. If I still wouldn't take nothing for my journey now, let's sing it together. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I've got to make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me and tries to turn me around, he's offered everything that's got a name, all the wealth I want, and worldly fame.
If I could, yeah, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now.
That's the faith you got to have.
Yes.
That's the made up mind that I've got to have. Oh, I wouldn't take nothing. I wouldn't take a little bit of pleasure and love down here and cause me to miss heaven for all the wealth and love that the world can offer me. I'm telling you, there's a place with streets made out of gold. There's a place with walls made out of jasper. And there's a loving Savior waiting on you out there at the door. Oh, church, it's going to be worth it all.
Yes, it will.
Tonight, this is what I would like to do. If you know there's a Nahash been coming knocking on your door, I want you to come tonight to this altar. And don't be embarrassed. Folks, we all got Nahash. That serpent's after every one of us. He come knocking at my door this week. That old Nahash, he tried to come to my door, get my goat off the leash. He tried to get me mad and angry at some folks. But you know what? I'm proud to say that goat stayed on the leash this time. Hallelujah. But I won't promise you that the goat won't get a little bit further one of these days, but I overcome this time. In church tonight, let's find us a place. Let's pray and seek God. Let's overcome the powers of Nahash, the spirit of Nahash. Come tonight, everyone.